Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the PT Cop Podcast, brought to you by Crossroads Community Church. I am your host, PT, with my podcasting partners, the bald beauty, Steve Howard. What's up, Steve?
How y'all doing?
You know him, you love him. The one and only ginger in the room, Todd the Irishman Bergen. What's up, Todd?
Hey, just glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too.
Totally glad to be here with all this wonderful energy.
I'm really glad you're here, too, man.
Yeah. You know what? It feels good.
It feels good to be wanted.
It does.
I think you had extra coffee this morning.
I had two extra cups of coffee today. Look out.
Oh, we're in trouble.
Hey, yes. You know, hey, I can't. I had at least three before I got here. Good old Cracker Barrel coffee tea, man. Put hair on your chest.
It's good. And elsewhere.
It doesn't burn like Mr. Clean.
Nope.
No. All right, and joining us again, you probably just heard her. She's the only female in the room, so she's a lot prettier than all three of us guys. Yes. Is the author, youth pastor extraordinaire, and coincidentally, probably does not have coffee pudding hair on her chest, thank God. Yes. Joanna Grace.
You know of.
Joanna Grace Voyle. She's amazing. Thanks for being here. Not that we know of. Yes, we don't want to know. It's true. We don't want to leave that to the discovery of Donnie.
That's why she's always wearing turtlenecks.
Man, I was really hoping y'all wouldn't pick up on that. Dang it.
Yeah, sorry. Saw that the first episode. Oh, look at that. Did you see Steve's? Look at Steve. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my gosh. He's got more hair on his chest than I got on my butt.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Please, please, please stop. Please, please stop it. Okay.
So good.
So, I digress. Yes. I can't get that vision of fluffiness out of my head. Your chest hairs, bro.
Let me show you my bottom.
No, come on, man. No. We've got kids listening.
My name is Buckwheat.
Let's not do this.
Oh my God. I was wondering where that name came. And this is the podcast where it all goes downhill.
We were doing so well.
Were we?
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Don't question the science of it, by the way. All right, so we're
asking for grace.
We're going to get laser hair removal treatment for Todd and Steve, obviously, for Christmas. But
thank
we
God
are
for mercy.
I'm begging for it right now. We're approaching the holiday season fast, and we got a lot of stuff coming up. So I'm going to kind of give you an overview. We have done this for the last 3 weeks, but we're going to keep doing it. Next week, I'm really stoked about next week, and I'm hoping that you are too. I want you to listen in at 10 o'clock next week. We're going to go live with this podcast next week. And I kind of think we're getting into a mess because I'm opening it up. I'm going to be giving out at least two $100 gift cards next week. The first one is going
to
be...
Can I call in?
No, you cannot.
You're on the show.
Man. No, you're on the show.
Man, I want a $100 card.
Nope, and you can't even call in sick and call in. Because I know that's exactly what went through your mind.
Kelsey.
Actually, that was actually mine. That was that vibe over here on this side.
Was it? No, it was not. It was not yours. No, it was
Steve.
Steve. Well, we'll be going live next week at 10 o'clock, and our subject matter is going to be angels, demons, ghosts, and the supernatural. One of the gift cards is going to go to the best story, and we'll vote on the best story of the live story. So if somebody calls in and gives us an angel, demon, or ghost story, or something about the supernatural, and gives us a good story. Now, remember, we can't go 45 minutes just on your story alone, so kind of condense it down to a good, because I'm the only one that's allowed to talk for 45 minutes on this podcast.
That's right.
Why?
Because I'm not.
Steve?
All right, so anyways.
I don't talk that long.
Because he has all the fancy buttons.
That's right.
He does.
That's right.
He does.
He has all the buttons.
And I can do this. I can mute you. I can make it to where you cannot be heard unless you have a really boomy voice. See, that's really weird. I don't like that. All right. Anyways.
That was weird.
So, yeah, it was. It was weird.
Yeah.
It sounds like it was in the back of your mind. It's like, Todd,
don't listen to him, Todd.
Don't listen to him. Okay.
I do not want that voice in the back of my head.
Lord have mercy.
Nobody wants that voice. Now you know how I feel all the time.
Man, no wonder you.
So we'll be having the first prize with the first $100 gift card to go to the best story. We're hoping that someone will call and will give us a good story, and we'll vote on it at the end of the day, get your information and all that good stuff. The next thing is we'll be giving a $100 just at random to somebody that's going to call. We'll decide. I'll decide who that's going to be. And we'll do that.
So, why do you get to decide?
Because I'm PT on the PT podcast.
He
That's
has
why.
The buttons.
Oh, I can't. I'm glad that was said.
He yes. has I'm so the
glad
buttons.
That was said. Yeah. Me and PT master. Had a conversation the
yeah,
other day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. It should make sense. It should have made sense from day one that I'm PT
and I made and the you're comment. Not. Remember my comment?
Actually, you don't to be honest, my comment. To be honest, though.
Yes, sir.
Your name is PT, too, because you're the ag pastor, and your team is Todd. So... Yep. So now wow. you could just bite my butt. Okay.
Wait, does that make me PJ?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm PS.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, never
you
mind.
Have a, you, have a, oh. You have a cologne named after you.
PS.
My grandfather wears your cologne, dude. All right, anyways. So that's next week, October 29th at 10 a.m. We'll be getting onto that. They will give you all the instructions that you need to win prizes. Obviously, call in. And we'll give you the number that day. So be sure and listen in, and we'll give you that number that day.
But before that, share this. You guys get out there and share this.
Yeah, that's folks, a good point.
Put it on.
Yeah.
Put it on your Facebook.
Your social media.
Yeah, social media.
Yeah.
Get it out there so we can...
Put it on your underwear.
Yeah, if people are looking at the back of your underwear while you're walking away from them...
Yeah.
Yeah, write it down.
The back of your sweatsuit. You know, the ones that say juicy on the back. You know, now you need to put the PT podcast. We need to right, we PT need podcast. To get
see
we need to get a line of clothing that has that. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, yes.
Hey, what if we did this? What if we took one of those little shavers and shaved it in Steve's chest?
I think PT. In his beard would be better.
No.
In his beard, yes.
I don't know. No, I kind of like,
yes.
like his
beard.
I like his beard.
I like his beard, too, but it would look better with PT in it.
No.
Yes, it would.
No.
You put it all like on the sides right there?
Yeah.
You
just yeah.
No.
Big old.
How about a tattoo of me on your forehead?
No.
No? You had to think about it, though, because you were...
Yeah.
There was a pause.
Yeah.
Take one for the team.
Put T on my booty.
Just pain in the butt right there.
Oh, Lord, it's digressing again.
Joanna?
She fits in so well.
You need to stop that. I would expect
Steve
to say something like that, but not you. All right.
See what I'm blessed. He doesn't have a Todd button.
Oh, not yet.
No.
Not yet, but I am going to make one. That's somebody screaming that name, yes.
That's the joy of having a name like Joanna. There's not that kind of stuff out there.
I think there
is like one song.
That's right. And
that's
it will haunt you for the rest of your life.
What song is that?
Joanna. Casey. No, it's Cool in the Gang.
Cool in the Gang?
Okay, cool in the Gang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up because I don't know.
Yeah. Cool in the Gang. Yeah, Joanna.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like an 80s song?
Late 70s, early 80s. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So, next thing that next week was great, but after that, November 21st at 11 a.m., there's always a great time with a all church family meal. And we just want to invite everybody that's listening to the PT podcast, come on out. All the people that you've heard on this podcast, they will probably be there. And that's including my grandfather, who is recently one of the more popular people that I've been told about our podcasts. He's been on. We want to get him back on. I don't know when that's going to happen, but we're going to get him back on eventually. So y'all stay tuned with that. But come on November 21st, you meet him in person, and I'm sure he'd love to tell you all the stories that you want to hear. He loves to do that. And that's going to be a great time. November 21st at 11 a.m. That's at Crossroads Community Church. That's 20465 North Highway 69, Lindale, Texas, 75771. Come on out and just enjoy that. There's no preaching. There's no singing. We just kind of get together. We'll take up the offering so we can pay our bills, and then we go ahead and start eating. That's how that works. We might sing one song in the process.
Yeah.
Usually. We'd sing a song in the process. Maybe a couple. But it's always a huge spread. There's always more than enough food. So
yes.
Come on out and have a good time. In fact, when Steve gets done, he usually comes on out and eats with us anyways. So
yes.
Yeah.
I will be here.
Yep. So December 9th through the 12th, I'm really excited about this. It's going to be our annual Mobile Santa time. It's going to be the first time we've done it since 2019 due to some stupid virus that I don't even want to talk about, but it exists out there. It's out there, COVID, whatever you want to call it. It's out there. And because of a virus, we kind of have to do things a little different this year. This year, we're going to be doing three nights at the church property. Like I said, 20465 North Highway 69, Lindale, Texas. We'll simultaneously be having a drive-through live nativity and life of Jesus. So
that's cool.
We're going to have the nativity scene. We're going to have the crucifixion scene. We'll have the resurrection scene.
Wow.
And you'll be able to drive through that, hear the story of the gospel message. And then you'll be able to pull in and you'll go and spend some time with Santa Claus if you want to. If not, you can keep on driving. But we know that if you want to be protective, you don't want to get out and be around a bunch of people, we understand. Just feel free to drive through. It'll be free. And December, that'll be happening at 7 o'clock every night from December 9th through the 11th. And then we're going to go mobile with Mobile Santa. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Mobile Santa.
Makes sense.
December 12th. And it'll be on the move for the first time since 2019. So we'll be going to local businesses that sponsor this year's Nativity and Mobile Santa. We've already got several. Hopefully that if you're a business out there, you're listening to this, please please get involved if you'd like. And check out the sponsorship. If you need some more information on that, you can get with me at tim@timletsch.com. That's Tim, T-I-M, at T-I-M-L-E-T-S-C-H.com. And you can get some more information about how to sponsor. We're wanting particular sponsors to sponsor each individual Nativity or Life of Christ stop. And that way we can put your name out there on the sign and you can be a sponsor for each individual stop on those things. And then we'll go out and we'll visit your place of business when you sponsor like that. That's how that works. So cool. In order to be able to do all these stuff, we have to have the money to be able to do that. And you guys can play a big part in that. So please do that.
Amen.
All right. So today, big, huge. But before we do that, I'm going to digress a little bit because we're in the mood. We're obviously in the mood to digress a little bit.
Okay. I think we started that off. Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Okay, so
we
digressed a few times.
So I'm getting a lot of feedback on the first podcast where we just kind of talked about ourselves. Now, Joanna never was able to be there. She wasn't invited yet because we didn't like her enough yet.
Right. Losers.
Yeah. Whatever.
He wasn't on the show.
Loser. That's awesome.
Steve?
All right, so anyways.
She called you a loser, Steve. Yes.
Yes.
His eyes are big and round right now.
Actually, he kind of looks Chinese.
No, he does. He does not.
I do too.
Yeah. No, he looks Dutch.
Squinting. No, he's squinting.
Now, with the beard, he looks pioneerish.
Viking. Been told I look
Vikish.
Aboriginal.
Aboriginal. I look like everybody's cousin in Louisiana.
So whatever, man. Steve is a good looking dude. Lorraine would even say so. So would his mom. His mom would look that. All right,
yes,
so
my mom.
We're gonna play a game.
What mom doesn't love their son? How they look.
We're gonna play a game of Would You Rather.
Oh no.
Oh.
Yes, it's gonna be a great game of Would You Rather today. So first thing, we're gonna go from my left all the way around the table.
Yes.
It's gonna start with Mr. Todd. PT.
Ooh. The other PT.
The PT2.
Serenity PT.
The redheaded PT.
The ginger PT.
Yes.
PT ginger version.
You know what? I think I'm going to get the gray out of my beard.
Why?
Me too.
I don't know.
You're going to get the beard. gray out of my beard. See how?
I'm glad you shaved it off this week.
Yeah, it looks good.
It looks fine.
Good. You can't even tell it's there.
I can't even see the stubble.
So good.
You are amazing.
Holy corn. I don't know if we need the would you rather. This is so great.
Right?
All right, so here we go. Todd, we've had a little bit of time to think about this. I've read this beforehand, but we're going to do this. Would you rather wear a monitor that beeps when you're lying or beeps when you're attracted to someone?
Oh, definitely. I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, it would be when I'm lying. Lying down or... Which lying?
Lying
down on the floor?
Like when you're not telling the truth, lying.
Telling a fib.
Oh, when I'm fibbing. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that brings a whole different light on the subject.
That's right. It doesn't say lying down. It says not lying. Down,
just lying.
Yes.
Because I could be lying in a hammock. I could be lying on the ground. I could be lying.
But it doesn't say lying on. It says lying.
Mm-hmm. Just lying.
Yes.
Could you spell it for me?
No.
Use it in a sentence.
Use it in a sentence.
Can I? Yeah, that was next. I wanted the definition.
Hooked on Pahonics worked for you, yeah.
I always hated the spelling bee. Oh my gosh. Yes, definitely. No, I would definitely. No. No, I would definitely. Yes, definitely. Would like the lying part. I think I could.
Not lying.
I could stay out of hot water.
Yeah, I think you'd be alive a lot longer, that's for sure.
Yes.
I might see my next anniversary.
That's right. That's right.
With my wife.
And that's very contextual, by the way. That was a very nice way of putting that. You'll see the next anniversary.
I heard it go off.
Yeah, your turn's coming up there, Bozo. All right.
It's two people around the table.
Yeah.
Steve?
That's exactly what Lorraine's going to sound like when your beep goes off.
Steve?
Why is your device beeping?
Why did it just go off now? How come it wasn't when I got out of the room?
I'm very attracted to you.
Steve?
Keep going with that thought.
All right, Joanna, would you rather wear a monitor that beeps when you're lying or beeps when you're attracted to someone?
You know what? I'm going to go with beeps when I'm attracted to someone. I'm going to go with that. Because if it's not my husband, they'll get a total ego boost, so good for them. And then every time Donnie's around.
Or they'll get a restraining order.
Oh, my God. Every time Joanna hangs out with me, she's always making this noise. I don't know what kind of
weird, some kind of weird beeping that's going on. What the crap is that?
That's my carbon dioxide.
See, but then when my husband comes in all stinky and sweaty after work, he'll be like, oh, okay, I'll go shower now. Yeah, we're good. Okay.
Yeah.
You See? Hope.
Yeah.
Because you like him when he stinks or you like him
No, because it would not be beeping.
It would not be.
With the stink and the dirt and the sweat. So.
Really? That doesn't turn you on, I guess.
No. Okay. No, doesn't do it for me. Nope.
Sorry, Jim. Did you not want me to go down that path?
No, I'm okay with that.
Saw that.
This is PT podcast. This isn't supposed to be appropriate. So I'm just saying. Mm. All right, Steve.
Yes, Steve.
Would you rather wear a monitor that beeps when you're lying or beeps when you're attracted to someone?
When I'm attracted to someone.
Okay. See, I think you're in trouble.
No.
Yeah. Yes, I think
you're making Steve, it to the next anniversary.
It would just be going off all the time because I'd be with Lorraine. Beep, beep, Steve? Beep, 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 beep.
So now, see, the problem is, here's the problem, though, that I foresee happening. When it isn't going off at every moment when he's with her, there's a problem. Or when they go out to eat at a restaurant and they have a good-looking waitress and she's been with him for the last 2 hours and it hasn't gone off at all, and then all of a sudden this good-looking waitress comes up and it starts
to... Can I take your order?
Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep.
Yeah.
Hi, babe.
Steve?
I can still say, I just looked at you and it went off.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Stick with that one. Especially when you're sitting at Hooters.
You must unlearn.
Now, we got to ask the question, though. I mean, now that we've identified the three of us, there's still one more at this table.
Yes,
come
there
on, Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Come on, Tim. You know,
I'm using my privilege and not answering this one.
No, Skip Bo.
This is not fair.
Okay, no. I'm telling you, I'd rather have a monitor that beeps when I'm lying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I really would. Because I
you're attracted to a lot of people?
Yes.
Well, everybody in this room, I'm incredibly attracted to.
It would go off quite a bit Friday mornings. Yes,
it would go off a lot everywhere. Mm. I'm just to be honest, because I believe that God's creation is beautiful.
That's right.
Wow. He's done a good job.
He has.
Did a good job.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, some more than others. I can guarantee you one place that would not go off.
Where?
When I'm looking in the mirror.
You don't know that.
No, I do. I do. I do.
Aw, Tim.
I do. You shave up and you get all that stuff looking off your
face. No. That ship has sailed, unfortunately. I'd be the luckiest man in the world if that did it for me. Okay. I'm just saying. All right.
I think we should reach out to his wife and see how that one goes.
No. There's only one person. No, hold on. There's only one person in this room that I know of that spends more time looking in the mirror than any person that I've ever known in my life.
In this room.
In this room.
Steve, sorry.
Steve?
Yep. Steve.
And I'm a girl.
I'm just saying, dude.
I don't look at the mirror if there's not one there.
No, he whips out his phone, turns it around on camera.
That's true.
Oh, that looks good.
I'm just taking selfies.
Steve?
Go about your business.
Look.
That's right.
Look, when we were in college together. And we've said this before, but but we were college together. If I didn't know where Steve was, all I had to do was go find a mirror.
So pretty.
Look, all I had to do was follow the beeps in the mirror.
That's not true.
It's all right, Steve.
Oh, bless his heart. You can say anything you want to about somebody as long as you follow it. Bless their heart. All right, so we're going to get into our subject matter today. In today's podcast, we're going to be tackling a very misunderstood and mystifying words today. Grace and mercy. Now, a lot of times it's kind of in a synonymous way, grace and mercy. In fact, that's how I learned it, grace and mercy. It almost one word. G-R-A-C-E-A-N-D-M-E-R-C-Y, grace and mercy. So I don't know.
Big word.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Grace and mercy.
Grace and mercy.
It is one word. You say it like that.
Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds.
I think somebody probably named their kid that. Grace and mercy.
Grayson. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We could reach out. Is anybody out there with their child's name?
Grayson Mercy.
Mercy.
Probably not. But anyways,
please comment below.
That would be fun name. The last name is Mercy.
It is not
Grayson.
It is not synonymous at all. But people use it in a synonymous way. So to set the tone, as always, we're going to read the scripture foundation today and then talk a while on it if this is really an issue or just semantics. And I don't think it's just semantics. I think it's causing a disturbance in the force. It's causing some problems. So Ephesians chapter 2.
May the grace be with you.
Verse, good grief. No, if you're going to do it right. All right. So anyways, Ephesians.
Do it like you do it.
No, then. You're not going to do it. All right.
So do that.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in the work and the sons of disobedience. I want you to please pay attention to that verse.
Yeah.
Because the first two verses, because number one, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. And I want you to see that it's the spirit that is now at work in the sons of what?
Disobedience.
Yeah, that's huge. A lot of people do not want to pay attention to that, but that is humongous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. It was not that this does not mean that we were born with this. It means that we became we had fed a desire of our flesh and we had become naturally inclined to do this thing. Okay. Our natures were corrupted by sin. All right. Yes. Everybody follow me. See ya.
Yes.
Yes.
That's going to really hurt some people's theology out there. And I'll get some calls about that, but that's okay. Verse 4, but God, ever say, but God.
But God.
Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Now, that's mercy, okay? Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved.
Yes.
And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's grace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what?
Good works.
Good works.
Good works.
Holy cow. What? But it's not by works, but we are created for
good works,
yeah, in Christ Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. There's massive amounts of theology just in this passage alone.
Yes.
And Calvinist and Arminian alike will go to this context in scripture and will translate it in several different ways. We're not going to get into all that. We're not getting into Calvinism versus Arminianism. That's not what we're doing. But what we are going to look at is the difference between grace and mercy. Now, in this particular passage, Elios is the word for mercy, which means kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted. And I would say in my life, I can bear witness that when I was without Jesus, I was miserable and afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kindness or goodwill towards the miserable, joined with a desire to help them. Of men towards men, to exercise the virtue of mercy, to show oneself merciful. But if it's of God towards men, it's a general providence, the mercy and the clemency of God in providing and offering to men salvation by Christ, something that we do not deserve. We made our bed. We should have to sleep in it. But by God's loving kindness, he showed us mercy and didn't give us what we deserved, which was death. We were dead in our trespasses, but we don't have that anymore because the mercy of Christ, he's going to give us eternal life. He's gonna save us and that make us salvation and through him. So that's mercy, okay? Elios, okay? The next thing in this particular passage, the word for grace is charis, which, and one of my favorite words, because this changed my life. I used to think grace was, and typical, and I'll probably talk about it a little bit more, but there was an acrostic for grace, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I used to just define it at that, but I needed to look deeper. The word for grace, charis, means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, and grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, or favor. And this is the massive one that changed my life, of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence on souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to exercise of the Christian virtues. That's massive for me, because it's not a dumbing down of God's mindset towards sin. It's the empowerment to not sin.
Overcome. Mm-hmm.
It is the exertion of his influence upon souls to lift them above the circumstance, to make them able to do that which they could not do before. That is, to me, that is such a massive thing that Christians ignore when they talk about grace.
Yeah.
And keep it's on powerful. Going. It is powerful. And when I was preaching bad, falsely, wrongly, I was being a false teacher and saying that grace was the I'm okay, you're okay analogy, where it's all okay because grace means this, and we'll talk about that in just a second. What is due grace? The spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace. Number two, the token of or proof of grace or benefit, a gift of grace, a benefit or bounty, and what affords grace, the thanks for the benefits, services, or favors, recompense, or rewards. So my question to us, and I don't think that it'll be a long discussion, but how did you learn grace in church, Sunday school? Maybe you didn't go to church. What was your definition of grace? We're going to go from the right and kind of make our way around. Go ahead, Steve. What was your definition of grace? How did you learn it?
Well, the song "Amazing Grace." Once was blind, but now I see. Was a sinner, now I'm set free.
So, I mean, a lot of us get our theology from songs.
Sure. Yeah,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I got to be honest, it's pretty stinking dangerous.
I know.
I mean, because a lot of these songs are not biblically based at all. But I'm not saying that Amazing Grace isn't bad, because we are saved by grace through faith, right?
Yes.
But what is that? What did you think it meant?
That God's grace was amazing.
Well, that's good.
at what age were we talking? What?
Eight. No,
This guy went to the same seminary that I did, by the way.
I know. I just don't sound so
Steve
fluent as you. You said we know
Sunday
school. I was kind of taking myself back to Sunday school.
Yeah,
and you know that the way I looked at it when I was a kiddo is I needed God's grace because I'd done bad things and I needed to come to God and ask for forgiveness so I can receive his salvation, and his grace was given to me at that point. And when I was a kid, that's how I understood it.
So it was something that was given, and it is, that's true, but there was no deeper understanding about what that grace, what it meant.
No.
Yeah. I think that's part of the issue that we're seeing in today's culture, but I think you're right. I'll identify with that. What about you, Joe?
For me, grace, mercy, and forgiveness were all kind of lumped in together. It was all like one big ball of this is what you get with God. If you sin, say you're sorry, and it's okay, and God will forgive you, and that's grace, and that's mercy, and it's all just kind of jumbled in package there deal. Together. Yes, like it's all one.
You've heard that
blanket of God.
You've heard that, but I made a mistake. Well, that's okay. There's grace there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm okay, you're okay.
Yeah.
There's grace there.
Just don't do it again. Mm-hmm. So,
and if you do, ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, just ask for forgiveness and it'll be okay. Because God can't say no if you ask for forgiveness.
Now, in your
no matter what.
In your upbringing, was there a big push for asking for repentance? Or did you believe another way?
No. So that was Baptist mentality as a teenager, so let's put that out there. No, it was very much repent, repent, repent. If you don't repent every 5 seconds, you're going straight to hell.
Really?
So it was, there was a very big, like, the church that I grew up in, because I had, mom went to one church, dad went to another. Dad's church, going down for the altar call every Sunday, it was a requirement of the youth group. Hmm. It was
everybody at the altar.
Wow.
Everybody. every kid, because if you didn't have something to repent for every single Sunday, you're a liar
and the truth is not in you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, exactly. So it was a requirement. If you get your butt down to the altar and you repent, because you know you got something to repent for.
Better to be safe than sorry. Yeah. I'm surprised at that, because and maybe I'm generalizing, but most Baptists that I've heard teach, especially if they're true to the theology that they hold to, that it's if you have to repent, then you weren't saved to begin with. It's once saved, always saved. Once you get saved, once you're baptized, you're with the family. There's no out of that. There's no reason to repent, because you're not out of the family of God. There's no reason to say you're sorry about it. That's the way you were designed anyways. So most people don't think about it in that depth. But I'm surprised that there was that push to repentance. That sounds like...
Well, there was some condemnation in there. And I say this directed at the youth group, because that's what I experienced. But there was some, because you are a teenager and you don't know anything. And
we talked about that last week, by the way.
There must be some, there must be sin in there. You got sin. You got something. So confess. Get down there and confess it.
Yeah. Man, that's not good. Well, I'm glad you told us. What about you, Todd? What do you got, man?
I grew up in a not a very religious world. So as far as grace and mercy, I don't think it really entered until I was late teenager. Mm. So it was kind of a...
What was your understanding even then?
As a late teenager, I would probably say that... I guess I kind of understood it, but I put them together.
Grace and mercy.
I think when I used it, or when I heard people around me use it, it would always be, yeah, you got grace and mercy. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You screwed up. You're a typical teenager.
For me, it was always a blindfold.
A blindfold?
Yeah. Like, grace was, as a teenager, I grew up in church. So
right.
I was a drug baby. I was drugged to church all the time.
Me too.
If the doors were open, that's where we were at. But I came from a Baptist-costal kind of setting, where it wasn't completely Calvinist in their viewpoint, but it wasn't completely Arminian either. There was kind of a blending of the two ideologies. And what I got was that if you sinned, it's okay. You're all right. There's grace there. But as I got older, I kind of was like, well, okay, well, if grace is mercy, if that's what it is, then why do we call it grace? First of all, is there a difference between the two? And I remember getting in trouble with these kinds of questions in college, because I'd ask these things, and people just accept, they want you to accept as it is. That, you know, as if I say grace and mercy, you got to know what I mean. Well, you know what I mean. This is what I meant. That kind of. But if you start asking those kinds of questions, is there a difference between the two? Well, one of the things that really helped me was understanding that when I look at a deer, and he's gliding through the air and over the fence line. And one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen is, you know, you get these, you know, big 6 foot fences, and these things, it just, without any effort at all, hardly. I mean, it just glide over. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Now, I say, when I saw this, where they're the 6 foot fence that they're able to run, jump over these things is beautiful. Okay. I call that graceful.
Yeah.
I say that is graceful.
You haven't seen me jump a fence.
No, I haven't. Not on your own power.
We've seen the evidence of you falling over a log. Yeah.
If he calls you graceful, it's sarcastic.
That's not very graceful.
I guess if we could talk about you staring at a mirror, we could talk about Todd kissing a log. So
that's right.
Yeah. He had a love affair. His beeper was going off with the log thing.
You had a log in your eye.
But see, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I don't look at a deer that trips over the
fence.
Yeah, it's like a Looney Tune thing, you know, where it does the whole, you know, the exclamation marks and the cloud, the dust cloud that's up above it. You're like, that's not grace. We don't look at that and call that grace. And so I'm like, well, there's got to be a difference between, because mercy, I realize if I'm showing mercy to something, then I'm not giving it what it deserves. or I'm giving it something that it, it doesn't deserve. Like God, we deserve death when we sin, when we transgressed against God, when we brought death into the world, well, that's what we deserved. And all of us have made those mistakes, every one of us. So what we deserve is death, but God in his mercy gave us the ability to live through Christ Jesus. That's what Ephesians says. So that's mercy. I get that. That's the King in forgiveness, forgiving us, even though we owed 20 years of back, you know, back taxes to him. Mm-hmm. He forgave that debt. Yes. That's forgiveness. That's mercy. That's great. Grace is not where I fall and he dumbs his vision down, but that's what I thought. I thought that he would put on the blindfold and go, oh, it's okay. I'm giving you grace right now. Okay. I can't see your sin. Look, I can't see your sin. All I see is Jesus. And that's what I thought. Mm. In fact, I had people say that. Well, when he looks at you, he doesn't see your sin any longer. He just sees Jesus. And that's grace. And that breaks down because the deer tripping and falling and making a mess out of things and causing death and havoc all around, that's not graceful. That's something else. When I read Charis, and he exerts his holy influence on souls and gives them the ability and the knowledge and the wisdom and all those things to glide over these obstacles, that's when it connected for me. That, yes, he showed me mercy because I deserved death. I was dead in my transgression. But the next part of that is now he doesn't leave me unequipped to face those. If you read 1 Corinthians 10:13, that says there is no temptation that has come upon you other than that which is common to man. And God being gracious gives us a way of escape to every temptation. That's grace. That is grace.
Agreed.
Yeah. But the reason why people don't like that definition, though, is because although he may give you that grace,
you have to choose.
You have to still utilize that tool that he's giving you. And that means that there's personal responsibility.
Yeah.
They may be, it may be good and merciful that he is giving us that grace. It may be merciful, loving kindness that he does that. So I could see where people can get the misrepresentation of those two being in fact, I've heard it said, and I agree with this, it's two sides of the same coin. It's the same coin. It's just, you know, all on the base of the coin is love, and mercy and grace are two sides of that coin.
Yeah.
But one is giving us more than we deserve, and mercy is not getting what we deserve. But again, if you look at some of the things that we've got in our culture today, where I think I had that A.W. Tozer quote, I'm going to say this, because if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, this is one of the things that can happen. A.W. Tozer said this, to escape the error of salvation by works. Because all of us, I think all of us at this table know that we can't work our way into salvation.
No.
That's not something that we can earn. We can't earn grace. That's a gift. We can't earn mercy because that's his call. You know, that's something that we can't control. And so understanding that salvation does not come by works. But to escape that, we've fallen into the error, which is opposite of salvation without obedience. And I think that grace removes that thought where I can't obey. It's not within me to do what the Lord's telling me to do.
No, that's not true.
I know it's not true. But if you take that line of thought where there's a blindfold on God and all he sees is Jesus, does it really matter what you're doing?
Yes.
Why? If there's grace and he doesn't see your sin, if that's the way that we're looking at grace, if he doesn't see your sin, then why does it matter?
If he doesn't see your sin. So you're saying he has the blindfold.
Yeah, if grace is the blindfold, if grace is the dumbing down of God's knowledge and not seeing your sin, but just seeing Jesus.
Okay? Have you accepted Jesus at this point?
Well,
I'm asking a question. Because realistically, you're not going to get these tools or gifts until you accept.
If we take the line of thought, I'm saying this is the problem.
Right.
If we take the line of thought that says that God is dumbing down his vision and he can't see the sin any longer because now you have accepted. It's like, okay, once you go up, you get saved, you say your little prayer, you know, the pastor pats you on the butt, gives you the card to fill out so they can send it to general counsel. You're baptized. You make your public declaration of faith. And now you are part of the kingdom and family of God. All right? And that's how everybody knows you.
I like how you said that. That was nice. That was good.
All right.
Just record voiceover.
Yeah,
that.
We can do that. Yeah. But but I'm saying that now you're in part of the country club. Now God no longer sees your sin. You've heard this. Don't act dumb. Every one of you have heard this, where now God no longer sees your sin. Now all he sees is Jesus. He's got rose-colored glasses on, all right? And so these glasses, he's dumbing down his vision. Now all he sees is the sacrifice on the cross. It's merciful. That sounds great and all. So why does it matter what I do? If that's all he sees, now I can just live like the devil.
No. Okay. You're covered by the blood that Jesus shed, but you don't have the right to still.
Why? If we're teaching that as God only sees Jesus, then that's what I'm saying. That's part of the problem with that theology.
He's still going to see your sin.
Is he?
When you sin, yeah.
So why are we?
But you're covered by his blood.
Why are we teaching that then?
Because it.
I'm not teaching that.
For the record, our youth group will not hear that message.
Yeah. When I'm speaking to people, that's not what I'm saying.
Steve has heard it, though. I know we both have heard this.
Yeah, I've even probably said it myself before. You know, all they see is Jesus. All God sees is Jesus now that we're made right with Christ when we give our life to him. Yes. And Jesus covers us, and God gives us his love. Love covers multitudes of sin, but God gives us his grace. His grace is sufficient. I like what you're going with that. That means that he gives us the grace to overcome that sin, but God still sees that sin, and we still have to repent.
Okay, so hold on. He covers the sin.
With his love.
But he still sees it.
He still sees it.
So how is he covering it?
Because you're covered with the blood of Jesus, as in you're redeemed by his blood.
Okay, so, but that doesn't mean that all the sins, now this is where we're going with this, all the sins past, present, and future now have all been covered. That's what that theology teaches. So that means that no matter what I do, it's all covered under the blood, is what you're saying.
I wouldn't want to do that.
You wouldn't want to say that? Mm-mm.
But that's what they teach. You know it. That's why you're looking at me like that.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, so
we don't trample on his grace.
Well, that's a Romans 5 passage and Romans 6 passage. Should we sin so grace can abound all the more? Absolutely not, God forbid. Meginotai is the Greek word for that, and that means hell no. I'm just saying. That's what Paul said.
I like that. Meginotai.
Meginotai, which means hell no.
So
it's about as a harsh no as you possibly can get.
Oh, wow.
So he's literally saying,
Don't be taking advantage of God's grace.
That's right. But the problem with this line of thought is if we're teaching this grace as a covering instead of an empowerment, then what we're doing is we're dumbing down the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord, and we're saying that it's totally okay. Now, I know that there are people that say, well, then they're teaching it wrong. And you're right. I agree with you. They are teaching it wrong if that's the way they're teaching. But the problem is that others don't know the difference. It's like Todd. Todd's coming at this right around teenage years, and all he's heard is grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. This man named Grace and Mercy. That obviously with Jesus, Grayson hangs out with him, and his last name's Mercy.
That's right. I wonder what his middle name is.
Yeah, and?
Oh, that's right.
It's Ann.
Easy to spell. Yeah.
So I'm just saying that they don't know any different. And we're teaching them that God covers, and it makes people feel good where they're at. That's why we teach it. We want people to feel good about where that God's not condemning them, that God is not, it's not a, you know, I hate you right now. And although I agree 100 wholeheartedly that God is not in the condemnation business when it comes to somebody who's repentant, I will say that he absolutely condemns those that are not repentant and are engaging in acts that are propagating death. And that is the most loving thing that he can do, by the way. It isn't to support death. It isn't to support the one that is promulgating death. It is to condemn that. If I'm loving, I will condemn something that is going to kill my kid. I will tell my kid that is not the thing to do. That is wrong. That's hideous. That's, and that's not unloving. That's, That is the most loving thing that I can do.
Yeah.
I would expect God to absolutely condemn that which would kill someone. Okay? Mm-hmm. So he does speak out and condemn things that are going to hurt and destroy his kids. Okay? But grace is, I would say that is absolutely, he is not one to condemn those that are repentant and that are trying to love him with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Yes. However, if we water down the gospel message to declare the sinner that they are upright and righteous just by the sacrifice of that alone without a call for obedience, and saying obedience. That they are now empowered because they not only have received the mercy of God through Christ, but now they are given the resources of Holy Spirit when they become saved. Mm-hmm. So now all of those tools that he gives at the onset of salvation are at your disposal when you're facing temptations.
Yeah.
That is, to me, the discipleship factor that we are missing with our teaching and the basic essentials of foundations of faith when it comes to our kids. Because they believe that grace is a covering, because the church didn't want them to feel bad and they wanted to keep them after they got done with high school. So they're trying to keep the butts in seats. Well, then let's not teach grace as an empowerment. Let's talk about it, God's redemption at Christ's expense. And that's how I learned it, was God's redemption, grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. So now God is able to redeem you because of Christ's sacrifice.
Yes.
That's mercy. That's not grace. That's not getting what I deserve. That's mercy. Grace is the empowerment to overcome those things that were weighing me down, that caused death, that caused, it's the new life that I have now, that new slate, and the empowerment of his love and his power that he gives through the Spirit, the same resurrection power that exists in him. I'm saying that is what we need to be teaching our kids. When I say kids, I'm talking about as old as Todd that are just fresh into the faith. Because if I teach him that it's a covering, then you're gonna think it doesn't matter.
Right.
Might as well
just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
But the God's
redemption
at Christ's expense, that's why we were able to have grace.
That's true.
And that's to have the empowerment through the cross to
You can't have grace without mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not saying that I'm not contending that mercy is not effectual, and I'm not saying that it is not necessary.
It's absolutely necessary.
But it's different than grace.
Yeah. Well, through his mercy, if we do sin, he will forgive us of our sin, and then...
Without repentant heart?
You have to ask for forgiveness, that's what I'm saying.
You do?
Yes.
So it's salvation by works?
No, not by works.
Well, isn't asking forgiveness works?
No, it's not a work.
Asking forgiveness isn't a work. I'm not doing something?
You're doing something, but you're not. It's something that you have. Repentance.
I think he's trying to trip you up, Steve.
Yeah, I love this.
Yes, get him,
Steve. Get him.
Repentance.
I'm challenging.
Steve?
Okay. Repentance is turning away. And if you ask for forgiveness and you truly turn away, then God will forgive you of that sin, which he does through his mercy. And then his grace gives you, like you're saying, the ability to walk in that grace and to overcome that sin the next time. Or, you know, and...
That's taking the theology that grace is absolutely an empowerment to overcome those things.
Yes.
But if we take...
But I don't believe if you sin... And then you die the next day, God's going to say, okay, you sinned, you didn't ask for forgiveness, so you're going to hell.
Well, now that gets into the theology of what is sin.
Mm. Yeah.
What is sin?
Well, anything that goes against God, God's law, God's basically. Love.
Yeah, I learned anything that hurts the heart of God.
Yeah. What does James say sin is? To him that knows that it is wrong and does it anyway, to him that is sin. Now, this is what set me free. One of the things, when we talk about grace, and I understand this, I would believe that when mercy happens, when God reveals to us, which is an act of grace, Mm-hmm. Okay, he gives that knowledge, that holy influence.
Holy
of
Spirit
souls.
Opens our eyes okay. to see.
That's grace. Yes.
Our sin.
That's grace. We don't deserve that. That's a gift. Okay, mm-hmm. Salvation is grace. Mm-hmm. By the way,
salvation is grace.
Okay,
yes.
the mercy that we did not die. That's mercy.
Yeah.
Okay, but grace is so when God reveals something, and He shows us something, that's an act of grace, because He's revealing something to us.
Yes.
Now, the ability to obey. The ability to, that's also grace because He gave us the breath and all that stuff. So and even the act of repentance, the fact that we have the opportunity for repentance, that's what I was looking for, was that's grace. That's grace because He's offering that opportunity to us. He's showing us by revelation.
Yes.
He's giving us that. And He's also giving us the opportunity to come. So is it a work on it? No, because without the revelation, we wouldn't be able to even rightfully repent, because we wouldn't know
mm-hmm. yeah.
if we were offending God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the big part of that is the knowledge, and mm-hmm. and knowledge mm-hmm. equals responsibility.
Yes.
Okay. If I take that line that you're talking about in sin, if I say that anything that hurts the heart of God, I can't put His perfect measurement on myself, I'm going to implode. I'm like Isaiah. In the presence of God, I'm a man of unclean lips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I realize that I'm not pure. Mm-hmm. I have not been pure. In fact, when I'm born on this earth physically, I am depraved. But there's a big difference between physical depravity and moral depravity. Physical depravity means every man is going to die. It's just going to happen.
Right.
I mean, Todd one day is going to die.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure. One in one person dies. The rare exception. I think 99.997%.
Enoch.
People.
And
Elijah.
Elijah. Those are the only
Jesus.
Two we know.
Jesus died.
And Jesus.
Jesus
yeah.
died.
Jesus died.
Jesus died. Yep. Jesus died. But He rose again, but He died.
He rose.
He ain't still dead.
We can't say that Enoch died. We don't even know that.
Enoch didn't die.
Enoch did not die. He just walked right into the
I thought you were
presence
saying
of God.
Died. I thought you said He died.
No.
No, he was not.
My bad.
No, and Elijah got to go up in
chariot of fire.
Chariot of fire, yeah.
Yeah. And those are the two that they say are going to be
UFO.
I don't know. All I'm saying is that physical depravity means that we will die once. Okay. And when we're born on this mm-hmm. earth, we're already reaping the ramifications of that depravity. So as we're born, we're breathing in the air. We're suffering the effects of sin at its worst out here. Tidal waves of influence mm-hmm. that are happening all the time mm-hmm. because of our sin. We propagated those tidal waves of influence, by the way. Okay, now that's moral depravity. Moral depravity is that we are born into a world, not in our nature, but in the world that is naturally inclined, due to their decision-making processes, that to be morally depraved, to have mm-hmm. a moral depravity about it. So tidal wave of influence that will cause us to, or influence us to go against the Lord.
Yeah.
So we're born into a culture that is teaching us all the time that this is the right thing to do. Look out for number one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Be selfish in your motives.
Do what makes you happy. Yep.
Hoard all the money that you possibly can. Become as rich as you possibly can. Don't worry about the person next to you. You just need to take care of you. Don't worry about anybody else. All this stuff is moral depravity at its finest. That's why it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Because mm-hmm. in selfishness, mm-hmm. when we hoard those. So anyways, all I'm saying is that at some point in our lives, we made a decision that hurt the heart of God. But it hurt Him to the place to where He's like, okay, not that I'm done with you. I'm going to reveal in Revelation, I'm going to give you knowledge about your offense. I'm going to put that olive branch out there for you. And that is an act of
grace.
The reason why I want us to identify this, and the reason why we're talking about this in a podcast, is because there's not an identification of what that looks like. Right. All we're saying is, oh, that's grace and mercy. When you're saying, oh, that's okay, there's grace and mercy. But what does that even mean? Well, that means that God's going to go, hey, listen, that hurt. It's not only hurting you, it's not only hurting everybody around you, but it's hurting our relationship, hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm letting you know this. Once that grace, once that knowledge pierces you, you have a responsibility to respond,
mm-hmm.
okay? Which is repentance. And then mercy is that He doesn't kill you right mm-hmm. there on the spot. He allows it. It's like every time that we read Noah and we see the story of Noah, and he says, okay, we're not going to live for 900 and some years now. I'm going to give, he says 120 years and that's it. And people say, well, then that's when he cut off the age. But no, it was an act of mercy. He said, I'm not going to judge you for 120 years. I'm going to wait for 120 years before I said, because people didn't start having a less life and way down the road. Mm-hmm. Okay. They were still mm-hmm. living to 900, 700, 600, you know, mm-hmm. years old, even way on down the line. So he was giving them mercy. He's always been merciful. He's always been that God that goes, listen, if I can find a repentant heart, I want to deal. I want to reason together. I want to talk with them. I want to make sure that they understand.
Yeah.
When you are a sinner and he reveals those things, the grace is the revelation. The mercy is that he doesn't kill you. And another act of grace is that he gives you the opportunity to repent. When you come and repent, then you obviously knew that you had sinned because you did something that you knew was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you said, oh, I don't think that one act of sin is going to, I absolutely do. Because I define sin as a absolute rebellion against what I know to be right. I have that knowledge.
So that's not covering ignorance.
No.
True ignorance.
Ignorance is knowing and then doing it anyways. That's ignorant. It's like saying, I have the knowledge, but I'm just going to do this anyways. Naivety, I would say, if we're talking semantics, naivety is not having enough knowledge to make an educated decision. And making a mistake because you didn't have enough knowledge. That's naive, okay? And ignorance is just, I know better, but I'm still doing
it. I'm gonna do it anyways.
Yeah, that's ignorance. In my book. Now, I'm not saying that's the Webster's definition, I'm not sure, but if I call somebody ignorant, it's usually a malicious term to somebody that says, oh, well, you're ignorant because it's not that they don't know any better. It's just that you don't even want to know better. You're just doing this because you're ignorant. Naive. I look at
that as defiance. But
well, that's true. That's yeah, true.
Defiance.
That's defiance.
But that's sin. If I know better, if there's enough knowledge for me to know better, mm-hmm. and I still do that anyways, then that is sin. That's what James calls sin. He says to him that knows it's wrong and does it anyway, to him that's sin. And I'd say vice versa. To him that knows it's mm-hmm. right and doesn't do it, to him that's sin. Knowledge equals responsibility. So I'm going to say, if I know that murder is wrong and I commit murder, did I sin?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And will I go to hell because I murdered someone?
Yeah, without that repentance.
Yeah, you said, did you repent?
Well, I'm just saying,
repentance.
You just told me that one sin isn't, so where's the line, dude?
Well, I think he said one sin without a repentance.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Well, if I murder somebody, that's just one sin.
Right, but did you repent afterwards? Did you feel more remorseful?
And he said, one sin without repentance doesn't mean that I'm going to hell. That's what he said.
Because somebody died the next day. Right, Steve? I'm looking at you. Help me out.
I'm trying to defend you, brother. He takes everything to the extreme here.
Well, the reason why is because there's going to be somebody out there that hears that and says, okay, and we're all guilty of this. I've done this too. This is not just attack Steve Day.
Yeah, this is attack Steve Day.
No, it's not.
Steve.
I'm asking for mercy, Tim. Mercy.
Steve? Unlearn what you have learned.
That's right.
What I'm saying is that somebody's going to hear what we're talking about and go, well, okay, God's merciful. Which means that even if I sin, even though if I knew better, it doesn't matter because God's merciful and he's not going to send me to hell just off one sin. I don't think that's true. Depends on how you identify sin. If I don't know any better, if I haven't been dealt with the Lord on those things, he hasn't revealed knowledge to me and I have a transgression that I didn't know about and he hasn't dealt with me on. Okay. I would say knowledge equals responsibility if I don't know any better. And I liken it like this. Let's say there's a mom planting a garden, and as she's planting the garden, she's weeding, and after she weeds, she puts that in the trash bag, and she starts planting tulips right afterwards. So she's got a little bit of a ways to go, and she's still got weeds going on, but she's planting flowers as she's going along. Well, right about the time that she's getting towards the end, she looks back to just enjoy what she's just planted, and she looks back, and she sees her four-year-old with all of the things that she just planted in her hands.
Look what I just did, Mom.
It says, Mom, I helped you pull the weeds today. Okay. Was it offensive? Yeah. Yeah, probably was. She worked really hard on planting those flowers, but the four-year-old doesn't know the difference between the weed and the flower. And so there's a different judgment there. The mom isn't, versus whether Steve comes back behind Lorraine, who's been planting flowers all day, and he, because he's not getting the attention, he goes up and goes, look, Lorraine, I helped you pick the weeds today. She's going to half kill you, dude. Yeah.
You better repent because she will kill you. Yeah. You better repent real
quick. But you
quick.
See the difference between those two lines of thought.
Yeah.
One is a heart that is not trying to do something bad. It just didn't understand what was going on. And I think God, there's a lot of opportunities in our life where we've made those mistakes. I don't think that's a sin that leads to death. I think that is a transgression. Yes, I think it still hurts. Yes. But I think God is willing to work in those individuals because the heart wasn't in rebellion and an FU to the Lord versus mm-hmm. the other one, where is you're not doing what I think you ought to do, God. So I'm helping you pull the weeds today. Mm-hmm. Well, you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. That is a heart of rebellion.
Yeah.
That is a heart that is sinful. And I think somebody that engages even in one act of that kind of sin is in danger of hellfire.
So they better get right.
But that you see why I say we have to have those conversations about what is sin? What is not sin? What is grace? What is mercy? Because if we dumb this stuff down, we've got teenagers and we got people that are in there think, well, you know, if I hang myself, God's merciful. And it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And I know that there are people out there that have those kinds of thoughts. I'd rather go and see Jesus now than have to deal with everything that's going on in life. And I'm like, no, don't mess with that. Don't abuse the grace of God because you think it's the easy road out. Don't do that. That's not.
Yeah.
And every one of us could sit here at the table and go, okay, I know that's wrong. Yeah, but do you know what we're teaching our kids? God's dumbing himself down. He's putting on his glasses and all he sees is Jesus. So when you hang yourself, that's all he's going to see is Jesus when you die. Wow. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I see that.
Okay, so I want to make sure that we're having that conversation.
Yes.
And that people at home, you realize that he is giving you grace the moment that you realize that you have done something that is against what he's asked you to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that the mercy is that you have an opportunity. You're not dying right now. You have an opportunity to repent, which is another act of grace on his part. And an empowerment for you to repent, which is what Steve was saying. Go the opposite direction. You're at home and you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, I could sin all I want because the grace of God will abound. No. I'm just telling you, that's the wrong line of thought. That will lead you to a place to where, and I don't care if it's, I don't care what your breed of sin is. If you know it's wrong to be a homosexual and you are being a homosexual, then I'm telling you, that's sin. To you, that's sin. And I realize that it's difficult. And I realize that you have to deny some things to follow the Lord in that regard. But the question has to be, is he worth it? Mm-hmm. It's always the question. And if that knowledge is true, if he's wise, if he's loving and he loves you, that conviction, because it's not condemnation, he doesn't unlove you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to bring you to a place of right relationship with him.
With him,
yes.
And that's an act of grace as well. So it's not like he's writing you off. Obviously, he's trying to contend with you. He's trying to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
And understanding the difference between mercy and grace, understanding that he hasn't killed you, you're not dead yet, and he wants to establish connection with you, that's merciful. The next part of that is the grace. He's willing to give you every resource that you could ever desire to battle that which is not good. And and he's not leaving you defenseless against these things. That is, now it may not look the way you want it to. He may not dumb your mind down. He may not just take away the desire, but he will give you the opportunity to say, that's grace. He'll give you knowledge, opportunity for wisdom. He'll give you people in your life that will help you through these circumstances. That's grace. Mm-hmm. That is grace. It is merciful that he's giving grace, but it is not the same thing. Mercy and grace are not the same thing. And it's necessary that you know the difference between those two. Y'all getting it? Y'all?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm not just talking up a fence post, am I?
No.
I'm good.
I don't see a fence post.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's just, you never know. Yeah.
I can dig a hole and put a fence post up if you'd like.
No! Okay.
Well, I won't do that.
Well, today, on our musical segue,
yes,
got a song of the week. We're going to be heading into the vault.
Is it that one I sang?
No, no, thank the Lord.
Hey, you know what I think for next week for our live show? I think if people don't call in, we should make Todd sing.
We could do that.
Like,
I could do that. I don't mind doing it.
That's what so are you people. Saying? So call saying, in.
This is what it will sound like.
I was waiting for the screaming button.
No, no, it's not. It's not that pretty. Poor Todd.
I've never heard you sing, Todd.
It's terrible. Oh. You know what tone deaf guys look like and sound like?
That's Steve?
Me. No, just playing. I'm just playing. Oh,
that's abuse of the button. That's abuse of the button.
10-yard penalty. 10-yard penalty. Yep. Steve is probably one of the most beautiful vocalists I've ever heard in my life.
Absolutely.
It is.
No, that is true.
I said not the most, but I said one of the most beautiful vocalists that I've heard. We used to be in competition with each other.
We are not no longer competition.
Back in the day, man. Back when I was 13, and Steve would beat the snot out of me every time, every stinking time. And that's because he paid off the judges. But we won't talk about
did.
That.
Yeah.
So. At 13,
money goes a long way.
That was a lot of money.
It was his mom.
You started a laugh of corruption early.
That's why Steve told me this the other day. He goes,
"I love my mama very much." Yes, I do. Now you know that.
For Steve's mom, who is listening out there,
she paid off the judges for me.
She was a wonderful woman. Mm-hmm. Is a wonderful woman. I'm sorry,
Carolyn is absolutely incredible.
Yes,
she's her and Mike are
sweet
saints for putting up with him. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so we're gonna head back into the vault for the musical segue. This is my band Faith Strange's first album. This is a song on it written by Travis Taylor called Sweet Sweet Mercy. It's a great representation of what our response to his incredible mercy should be. So you guys take a listen to this. I love this song.
To you, the passion of our lives. We ask that you would fill this temple made of flesh and your sweet spirit. Worship the stream that flows, and I will dive into your river and let your current take control. Your river, Lord, and let you come.
Fade Strange 2006, and I sound good. Like a baby. I was just saying that. I sound like a baby.
No, you don't. That sound awesome.
That was 15 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Isn't it nice when you pull stuff out of the vault?
I wasn't even 30 yet.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you really? Really?
I wasn't even 30 yet, 15 years ago.
Well, you're what, 57 right now?
Oh.
Ouch.
Yeah. He's barely 40.
I don't want to be the oldest.
What,
one
are you 41 now? I'm 44.
Although I act very mature for my age. I have
yes,
to say.
You do.
Yeah, me too.
You know, everybody says that's say why Donnie and I work. Because he's immature for his age, and I'm
mature for your age.
I'm the oldest one in our relationship, even though he's 16 years older.
I cannot confirm or deny that that's true.
Yeah. I think there might be some wisdom in that word.
Well, let me say again how thankful we are for the opportunity to be able to enter into your lives by way of this podcast. Those of you that listen every week, thank you so much for allowing us to be a voice in your life and to listen in and for all the responses that we get during the week. We love to hear from you. We want to thank Crossroads for letting us do this, Crossroads Community Church of Lyndale for sponsoring this podcast, and obviously for being letting us use this room that we're using here, this podcast studio. Go out and check out their Facebook page. You'll kind of see some stuff. You get to see the services there at C3 Lyndale. Next week is our live, guys. I'm a little nervous, to be honest.
Don't be nervous.
Just a little nervous.
Why?
Well, because I know that we can get some of these calls that come in may not be friendly calls, especially if we're handing out flyers in the community. Oh, somebody gets a wild hair and decides that they want to call and be like, "You mother truckers, can't believe it." You know, they're going to think so.
Well, it's just a disclaimer that we're not responsible for everything that's said.
Nope.
No, that's true. That's the disclaimer. People that call in, it'll be live, and so you never know. It does not necessarily reflect the views of people that are here, either PTs or PJs or PSs.
PS.
It may be BS. We never know.
Could be. Actually, I thought it was pretty good. Good job, Joanne.
Thanks. Sure. Every now and then I get a good one.
Sure.
I
like it.
It's been a fun one today, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks for letting me talk as much as I did.
Do we ever have a choice?
Well, I was going to say, we're kind of used to that. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
Just let him go. I mean,
do you guys have a mute button for him over there on your side?
We have no control.
We don't have any of the fancy buttons.
I have thought about putting a little mute your microphone button so that if you have to cough or something, you could press it and then cough and then bring it back in. I have thought about that. But then I was like, no.
I like to cough on the air.
I'd like to be able to just blame you for the terribleness of the quality of the podcast. So that's why I do that.
If people are concerned about the coughing and the microphones, please let us know. Let us know.
Why?
No, I just want to know.
No!
Yes.
No!
Yes.
No!
Okay. Yes.
We can do this all day long. I'm just saying. All right. So listen, if you got an idea for a podcast that you'd like to hear, please email me at tim@timletsch.com. Once again, that's tim@timletsch, TimLetsch.com. Let me know what you'd like to hear us talk about. It's been a great conversation, guys. And yes. I hope you guys will join us next week for our live. We're going to be talking about angels, demons, ghosts, and the supernatural. We want stories. So call us and we'll let you guys know next week. Just make sure you listen on Podbean. That's where it's going to be, the Podbean. And obviously, if you're listening, you'll be able to hear that. If you're listening by way of Apple Podcast or YouTube or any of those things, you'll want to go to Podbean for the live cast, because they will not simulcast on those other places. That'll just go out after it's over to those other places.
So all of our listeners have to be on Podbean.
They're going to have to go for the live broadcast. If you're going to have a chance to win the $100, the two $100 gift cards, you're going to have to go to Podbean. But listen, it doesn't cost you anything. It's free. All you have to do is sign in and put yourself in there, and you'll be able to be a part of that conversation. Okay? So that's the live thing. And I think we'll be able to actually see comments as we're going on Podbean. I have never done a live, so we're gonna figure it out, and it's gonna be interesting to see how it goes. But
awesome.
We hope you join us next week. But until then,
this is Todd Bergen.
This is Steve Howard.
It's Joanna Grace.
And this is PT. We're signing off. We hope you guys have an incredible week. If no one has told you, God loves you and so do I. We'll see you guys.